Dear friends, this inscription reads, in gratitude to Bill, from all Canadian members of AA, 30th anniversary, International Convention, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, July 1965. May I endeavor to express the feeling which those simple words evoke. I know this is a testament of your gratitude and of your love. At this moment, one of the great moments in my life, I would not exchange places with anyone else in the world. At this moment, or at any other moment, although your testament of gratitude bears the label to Bill, may I presume to read a larger intention into what you have done. I first think of Dr. Bob, my earliest partner in this benign enterprise. I think of his labor of love, as with Sister Ignatia at Akron, between 1940 and 50, he ministered to some 5,000 of us who had suffered, thereby becoming, if titles are appropriate, the prince of the 12th step. And, if you like, the dear sister, the princess. So these kept the faith and left us a legacy of experience in which the actual performance of our 12th step is today rooted. And I think of that period when AA flew blind and no one could say what shape we might take, if indeed any shape would be forthcoming. In those first years, we were ever so frail. We could have perished in our infancy. So at that time, especially, the difference between life and death for us and all who have come in these years was made by the handful, the few score of those who were able to keep the faith. to keep the candle burning when great winds might have caused it to gutter out. So I would rather believe, and I'm confident, that you will accept my view that in a deeper sense, this token of love and affection has been designed and presented in remembrance of all those who did keep the faith in yesteryear. I simply say thank you. This occasion may be a most fitting hour in which to present you a besetting problem of yesteryear. You are all, I am sure, familiar with the history of the development of anonymity, how the name came from the book title, which in turn came from our characterization that we were a nameless bunch of drunks trying to get along. After we left the protection of our friends in the Oxford group. So nameless grew into anonymity. And our anonymity was at first spurred by not so much any profundity or nobility indeed. The stigma on us people in those days was immense. We thought we had to be a secret society. Then again, we thought when publicity came, and some of our members naturally ran to the media of communication, the microphone, and began to proclaim the message from the housetops, that was a natural, a normal, a well-meaning thing. But the altitude for some was too great. The air was too exhilarating up there. And still meaning well, they began to say, but now I am also allied with enterprises X, Y, and Z. Wonderful works all. How about some money and publicity for all these? And because we were bent on a quest for survival, where nothing but the best would do, anyone could foresee great complications and distractions for us if this happened. So we began to talk about anonymity at the public level. And I suppose it wasn't until 1950, or shortly thereafter, at about the time 12 and 12 was done, and we began to ask ourselves what these traditions, particularly the 12th, really meant, did we realize that in our anonymity, God had offered us an unbounded opportunity which went far beyond protection. As you remember, the first edition of AA says that the common welfare must come first. Well, anonymity is an earnest and a practice of that principle, because if we are anonymous at the top public level, we forego even natural and legitimate aspirations to win fame and fortune by the use of the AA name. After all, each of us is living on borrowed time. Nothing but the best will do. So each of us, in the spirit of anonymity, has foreclosed his chance to win public recognition by the use of the AA name. Now then, this tradition, as it came into view in this great dimension, brought a very special burden upon Dr. Bob and me. And not long before he died, I was out there, and in a rather humorous way, tinged with gratitude to be sure, he said that one of his local AA friends, an undertaker, had been up there, and he had brought a sketch with him of an appropriate mausoleum suitable to a founder and his wife, in which Dr. Bob might be incarcerated when he kicked off with cancer. Well, Dr. Bob grinned and looked at me and said, "What do you think?" Well, I didn't think, so Bob said it. "Why in God's name don't you and I get buried like other folks?" That was the beginning of our compact. That was an extension of the principle of anonymity. And presently, there were other laudable honors offered us, suitable indeed and necessary to the world outside, but not really appropriate to our needs. Each of us had offers from universities for degrees of various sorts. Well, this was very stirring. The community around us was saying, "We accept this society as useful citizens of the world, and these honors that we proffer to its originators are a token of this." But we declined, explaining our special need that I have just pointed out. After Dr. Bob died and we grew in public esteem and knowledge, I began to be offered more of the same. My own college, where I had been a flop, thought that I should have a degree. There was a convenient excuse that the World War Service had sort of cut off my chances at school, which I never would have finished anyhow. Well, that's too facetious. They were very serious about this, and so was I. So, again, I explain. However, there came an opportunity which brought me a great temptation. And I thank God for the memory of the compact I made with Dr. Bob. And I thank God for the people who then reminded me of it. And this is how it happened. The background here was an offer of the Lasker Award. The Lasker Award is given for those making outstanding contributions in the medical field, and I think in others. It is a citation of very large distinction. One out of each five of its recipients have received the ultimate prize at Stockholm. Well, it wasn't too hard to turn this one down because in this case, the award could be given to our society as a whole. We could have one of our dear non-alcoholic boards, members of our trustees, go out there to the San Francisco Opera House, which was to be packed to the rafters with the public and the local AAs, and receive this award on behalf of our whole society. This was a very different thing than the taking of personal honors. And I was glad to be there on the stage and to stand up and say a brief thank you on behalf of AAs everywhere. I'm sure this was quite right. Then came the real temptation. One day, acting for the Board of Trustees of Yale University, an old friend of mine and a friend of the secretary up there came into my office and he said, the board would like to give you a degree seldom accorded in universities of our size and standing, the greatest degree that a layman can have, the Doctor of Law. I cannot portray to you my mixed emotions. You see, there were two sides of this coin. Not humility on one side and pride on the other. There were very practical results which could flow from either course. Because were I to say no to this, I might be doing a lot of people great harm. I would be in a company of distinguished men. In the eyes of the average citizen, it would increase our standing. It would result in considerable publicity. And it would attract a great many people to AA, conceivably several thousand. Were I to say no, I would be literally pronouncing a sentence of death because of the lack of this publicity on some of our fellow sufferers, and the miseries of countless others would be prolonged. Moreover, let's face it, one toyed with the idea of a trip to Stockholm. Please don't record this in the press, if any of you reporters are absent. This is a kind of a private sharing, if you like. So I was of 2 minds. And I continued to mull this thing. And the first impulse of our board of trustees was, no matter what you think, AA cannot go without this asset. But one of our trustees, whose father was a great and one-time president of the U.S., looked across the table and said, he, Bill, I don't want to exert any special influence on your decision. This is for you. I would just like to put a fact in the hopper. He said, heavens knows, my father was a public figure. Far less anonymous than the New York Yankees. But as a protection against himself, he always declined personal honor. This made a deep, deep impression upon me. And I did remember Dr. Bob. So, on your behalf, I hope I am right. I said no. I said this because I think that in this unusual world of anonymity, we can discover spiritual values of still undisclosed work. And in it, this society can be protected from ourselves. When ourselves are on the rampage, and I must here note that my rampages have been considerable. So I leave you with this fragment of AA history, about which I have never spoken so frankly before, lest you conclude that I am guilty of the worst kind of spiritual pride, boasting of my humility. Now this is something different. This is an intimate testimony from my brothers and sisters in this world kinship. And it is their expression symbolizing their gratitude and their love, not only for me, but for those several others of our early time who even better have kept the faith.
We've been honored by your presence as always. Here's your little card, Bill.